Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed as always to be a child of God and to be with you this morning. Let us pray, Father God in heaven, we come together today. Lord God, excited to read your word, to understand and get in depth with you, oh God. Through your word, Lord God, let your word permeate our minds, permeate our hearts, and permeate our spirits, that when we hear it, we know it, and we appreciate it. We appreciate this basic instruction before leaving earth, Lord God. As the baby sang on Sunday, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand upon the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. We stand on it, Lord God. We stand on your word, trusting it, believing it, and knowing that it came from you, God. Lord God, as we go forth today in your word, I ask you, Lord God, to increase as I decrease. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight, Lord God. For you are my strength and my redeemer. I lift up, giving you honor, glory, and hallelujah praise. And Father, I ask you to please take control. Take control, Lord God. Speak through me. And give me a voice to speak on this day. In Jesus' name, I lift up your word, asking that someone hearing it will be saved. Who does not know Jesus? It's in his name again, I pray. Amen, 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 amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I am grateful this morning to be with you. Grateful that God is in charge. You know, I got a message that we can do. Someone sent me a scripture. That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we can. All things work for our good when we trust in the Lord. And I thank you for your prayers for my son. He did well on his test, on his job. Thanking God. I keep giving him encouragement. And I keep asking for your prayers. Because so many times our young people are made to feel inferior because their degree is not this degree. Well, I can say this, and I told him, I said, you be proud. Not many people in this age and in this day can say they have a college education and they got it without debt. So maybe he walked out the doors of the University of Illinois. He walked out with a degree and no debt. Yes, it took him a little longer to get his degree, but he worked, and he worked hard, and he paid his way. Not all the way, but he paid his way, a lot of it, to college. I thank my husband for paying for most of it. With his inheritance, he got most of his college paid for. He worked and paid for it, too, as well as scholarships. But the bottom line is, no debt. You know, and folks look crazy at him when he says, no, I don't have any college debt. Wait, but you got your degree, yeah. And you have, no, I haven't passed that. That's a blessing. That's God. That's God. God will get you through. All you have to do is have faith. And so I thank God for his glory. And I will preach the kingdom of God until I leave this earth, until God takes me home. Whatever God's decision in my life, I give it all to God. But as Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God. The Lord is coming when, I don't know, even Jesus himself doesn't know when he's coming, but he is. The question is, will we be ready? Will we be ready? Honestly, I don't know. We're all in transition. We're all trying to get there. I pray that we will all be ready when the Savior comes. So let's get in our word this morning. I have a doctor's appointment, thanking God for that, that it will go well, to check on my larynx and my esophagus as to why I am waking up again hoarse and not in my throat. Not feeling the way it should. So pray for me. Again, I got that appointment today with the eye, ears, nose, and throat specialist, because you got to find out, and I say this to everybody, go to the doctor. Prayer changes everything. But God gave us doctors for a reason. And they work very hard to get where they are. And believe me, you'll know that doctor is good because they're going to tell you the truth. No sugarcoating. And that's the doctor I want, the one that's going to say, this is what's going on. This is what you have to do. I thank God for the last time I was having this issue. I had a nodule on my larynx. But God, come on, y'all. But God, when I went back to get the test, because they were going to have to possibly do surgery on my larynx to remove this nodule, it was gone. And I'm praying right now it has not come back, that it is gone, and that this is something minor, like, I don't know, but that I may need to just use some type of coating on my throat at night. So I say this, and I say this regardless, God is in control. And I know that I preach the kingdom of God, and I need this instrument called a voice to do it. So I know that the Lord is not going to take my voice, because he knows I work for him. And he's going to give me everything I need to do my job. So I say to you this morning, work for the kingdom of God. Whatever you're called to do, if it's to preach, preach. If it's to teach, teach. If it's to evangelize, evangelize. If it's to prophesy, prophesy. If it's to speak in tongues, speak in tongues. That someone in this world may understand you and be saved. Whatever your duty, your gift, whatever your calling is, do it. That when the demons, you scream, they cry out, that they know who you are, and they run, because they know you are a powerhouse with the Lord. And I say this, God is in control of everything. And demons flee at the name of Jesus. And we just call on his name this morning. Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful child. Ooh. Jesus. We got to know who our Savior is. Just call his name. And let's get into our word this morning. As we are a Bible study, Bible reading, Bible teaching blog. And we are coming this year again out of the Charles S. Daily Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. I am coming out of King James, and I also have Holman's Rainbow Bible that I read also, as well as Tony Evans. Also, Chris, I think it's the Christian Standard Bible. Holman's is NIV. So we have different ones, and we also have King James as well. Again, I'm always looking for King James readers who want to read and read well and would like to share. So if there are any preachers out there, teachers out there that are wanting to get on the radio, please DM me on Twitter at minister at MIN_BTalksWord. Thanks so much. Let's get started. And it is Deuteronomy chapter 19 through chapter 20, verse 20. Psalm, the 38th Psalm, verses 1 through 8. Proverbs 12, verses 23 through 25. And Luke 4, 31 through 44, which is where our title comes from this morning. And the Word of God states, in Deuteronomy 19, starting at verse number 1. Then the Lord your God has cut off the nation whose land the Lord your God is giving you, and you dispossess them and dwell in their cities and in their houses. You shall separate three cities for yourself in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. You shall prepare roads for yourself and divide into three parts the territory of your land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, that any manslayer may flee there. We're talking the cities of refuge. Always give an out for the innocent. And yes, we know there are those that have lost their lives who are innocent. But I always believe that those that lost their lives who were innocent and were killed by the system, that were maybe lied on, all these things will all come out in the end. And when it comes out, believe me, these people will be with God. But the liars and the ones that killed them, they may have a different destination. If they only think, we got to remember, God is in control of everything. So let's keep moving here, y'all. And it says this, and this is the case of the manslayer who flees there that he may live. Whoever kills his neighbor unintentionally, y'all caught that word, highlighted, unintentionally, not having hated him in time past, as when a man goes to the woods with his neighbor to cut timber, and his hand springs a stroke with the axe to cut down a tree, and the heel slips from the handle and strikes his neighbor so that he dies, he shall flee to one of these cities and live, lest the avenger of blood, which his avenger, while his avenger is hot, pursue the manslayer and overtake him, because the way is long, and kill him, though he was not deserving of death, since he had not hated the victim in time past. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall separate three cities for yourself. Now if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he swore to your fathers, and gives you the land which he promised to give to your fathers, and all you keep, and you keep all these commandments and do them, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to walk always in his ways. Then you shall add 3 more cities for yourself besides these 3, lest innocent blood be shed in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and thus guilt of bloodshed be upon you. But if anyone hates his neighbor, lies in wait for him, rises against him, and strikes him mortally, so that he dies to one of these cities, then the elders of this city shall send and bring him from there and deliver him over to the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. Your eyes shall not pity him, but you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with you. You shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which the men of Oa have set in your inheritance, which you will inherit in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. One witness shall not rise against a man concerning any iniquity or any sin that he commits. By the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, that matter shall be established. If a false witness rises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who serve in those days, and the judges shall make careful inquiry. And indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and those who remain shall hear and fear, and hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. Every eye shall not pity. Life shall be for life. Eye for eye. Tooth for tooth. Bam. Foot for foot. And that's where that eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth comes from. It's Deuteronomy chapter 19. And you see it again as we go forth. We'll see that word again. And it goes in chapter 20 of Deuteronomy. But we'll do this life lesson from 19 first. And it says, he shall flee one of these cities and live. Accidents and tragedies occur in a fallen world, and God rarely tells us why. He does, however, instruct us how to respond, responsibility for our needs when we obey him. God takes care of us. Why? Because we are his children. And yes, accidents happen. Even God saw where accidents happened and made contingency for it. Excuse me. Because when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid. Do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And I say, the battle is not yours. It is the Lord. The Father goes before us in every situation. He is with us regardless of what we may see, what mountains we may have. Understand, God is in charge, and he goes before us to help us to get our life in order. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It says, then the officers shall speak to the people saying, what man is there who has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. Also, what man is there who has planted a vineyard and has not eaten of it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eats of it. And what man is there who is betrothed to a woman and has not married her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man marry her. The officers shall speak further to the people and say, what man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart. And so it shall be, when the officers have finished speaking to the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. When you go near a city to fight against it, then proclaim an offer of peace to it. And it shall be that if they accept your offer of peace and open to you, then all the people who are found in it shall be placed under tribute to you and serve you. Now if the city will not make peace with you, but war against you, then you shall besiege it. And when the Lord your God delivers it into your hands, you shall strike every male in it with the edge of the sword. But the women, the little ones, the livestock, and all that is in the city, all its spoil, you shall plunder for yourself, and you shall eat the enemy's plunder, which the Lord your God gives you, that you shall do to all the cities which are far from you, which are not of the cities of these nations, but the cities of these peoples, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. You shall let nothing that breathes remain alive, but you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, just as the Lord your God has commanded you, lest they teach you to do according to all their abominations, which they have done for their gods, and you sin against the Lord your God. When you besiege a city for a long time while making war against it to take it, you shall not destroy its trees by wielding an axe against them. If you can eat of them, do not cut them down, used in the siege, for the tree of the field is man's food. Only the trees which you know are not trees, but food you may destroy and cut down to be a siege work against the city and make war with you, the city that makes war with you, until it is subdued. God lets us know exactly what to do. You don't cut down an apple tree in a siege because the apples are food. You don't cut down a cherry tree in a siege because the cherry tree is food. You don't cut down an olive grove. You don't cut down a fig tree because it's food. You cut down that tree that is not for food. Be careful what you're cutting down. Every tree is not supposed to be cut down because it may be more food. And as we continue in this word this morning, a couple of life lessons, and I believe it's a life question. Actually, some principles to live by. And this is what it says for this life lesson for chapter 20 of Deuteronomy. When you go out to battle against your enemies, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you. The number, strength, hostility of our enemies matters little when the Lord is with us. As he delivered Israel from Egypt, so he can deliver us from our enemies. I think I can just say this. I don't know, and I'm not going to say, because I'm not God. If the Lord is with Ukraine, I know that there are many people of faith praying for them. But I can tell you one thing. This little nation is holding their own against a powerful nation that thought it was just going to roll in and take over this little nation without a fight. But these people are fighting And I believe that the hand of God is in it for them. Because when authoritarians think they can just do whatever they want to, you better understand it will destroy a nation. It will destroy a world. One person can set a fire that can kill millions. We have to pray and continue prayer that this conflict will cease, that God is continuously stepping in to stop this nonsense. But again, understand that nothing happens unless the Lord allows it. And God is allowing this for a purpose. And one day we will understand and see that purpose. But in the meantime, continue praying. Continue praying for the women and the children who have died. But we know where they are. They are with the Lord. They are with the Lord. And all their blood is on the hands of one man who decided that he wanted to be God. And we will see it. And believe me, God is in charge of everything. So let us continue in our words. Let him go and return to his home, Deuteronomy 27. Lest he die in the battle and another man marry her. The Lord did not promise his people that they would suffer no casualties when they followed him into battle, only that they would surely triumph. Again, we all go through. Many of us got some serious battle scars. But understand that the battle is not ours. It is God. And God is in charge of everything. God knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your spirit. He knows everything about you. And guess what? He loves you anyway. He loves you anyway. God loves us. And we need to just love him back. What an awesome and mighty God we serve. And as we get in our word this morning, life principle, the awareness of God's presence energizes us for our work. Wow. Let me read that title again. The awareness of God's presence energizes us for our work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Whatever you're called to do, just do it. I preach the kingdom of God. That is my assignment. That is what Jesus did. That is what he has given ministers and pastors and teachers and preachers to do, to preach the kingdom of God. And it says, how can you get the most out of your work? Let me offer three suggestions. This is from God's family. And the first is this, view yourself as a servant. Number two, realize that you work for the Lord himself. Oh, hallelujah. Realize your pay comes both now and hereafter. Can the church say amen? The first one, view yourself as a servant. And I have some words for you. It says this, Jesus came to earth not to be served, but to serve, as he instructed us to adopt the same attitude. Matthew 20, 25-28, we read that. Paul wrote, bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasing, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. First Colossians 3:22. If Paul told slaves to do their work heartily and they receive no paycheck, then what about the rest of us who do get paid? Well, they don't pay me nearly enough. You say, okay, you may not get paid adequately, but taking longer lunch hours, clocking out early, or coming in late is not the way to even things out. If you are paid for 8 hours, you need to give 8 full hours. Can the church say amen? Why? Because you are a servant, and good servants do good work. Whatever my hour of work that I do every day, Sunday through Friday, for the Lord, it's my time, and I'm going to give God this whole hour of time that I am being paid to go to work for God. And I'm being paid by salvation. I'm being paid by the blood of Jesus. I'm being paid by the hope in the future of salvation. I'm being paid when someone gets saved. Hallelujah. I thank God for his job that I have, that I do for him, preaching the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And it says this, besides, the best pathway to promotion is servanthood. Whoever wants to be a leader must adopt the attitude of a servant. A proper employee is seldom seen as a promotional possibility. It is the humble worker who diligently labors with a godly attitude that management sees as leadership material. Never doubt the impact of your attitude on everyone around you, the boss included. But who's your real employer? That leads us to our second suggestion. Realize that you work for the Lord. Who is your employer? Your employer is God. Hallelujah. Don't let anybody knock you off your square to tell you that you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that, and why you do this and why you do that. When you work for God, you go to work. You do what you're asked to do. You give God your time, your talent, your tent. You give to God what belongs to God, and that is you. Your employer exercises supervisory authority over you, but Jesus Christ is your Lord. You work for him. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Colossians 3:23. If you are a Christian, Jesus Christ is the supervisor at your workplace, and he not only watches you from afar, he's right there with you. You and I need to give a full day's labor, regardless of whether we think management is fair, because Jesus is ultimately the employer, and he's always on site. You and I should do our very best, because the Holy Spirit is present, equipping and energizing us. We make a mistake. We make a terrible mistake by segmenting life. We may think that Monday through Friday, we go to work. Saturday, we play. And Sunday, we worship. God has not designed life that way. If Jesus Christ is our Savior, we can't exclude him from any part of life. It isn't right to teach a Sunday school class with everything we have, but meandering into work the rest of the week. We won't be tempted to do our work merely to be seen by men if we remind ourselves that Jesus is our real boss. Woo! That word is for all of us. I know it's for me. Do I mean that your Monday job is also the Lord's work? Yes. Ministry is not just what you do at church. You worship God every day of the week. The conference I just went to last weekend, the title was, We Are Created to Worship. It's called Created to Worship. We are created to worship God every day. You worship God every day of the week, Sunday through Sunday. On Sunday, you worship him in church. On Monday through Friday, you worship him by doing a good job at work. Your exalted status as a child of God dignifies your work. That's why your office or place of employment should never be the same because you work there. Woo! Ooh, You serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a good testimony in the marketplace for him? Are you one of your company's most faithful employees because you serve him? Does your attitude reflect the joy you have in seeing his name on the door as the real CEO? And I can say this, the company I work for, one of the tenets of the company, missionary mission statement is to honor God in all we do. And I thank God every day for my job. I thank God every day that I am giving something of Him wherever I go. And God rewarded me with a caregiver of the year. Hallelujah. I have been caregiver of the month, caregiver of the quarter, and now caregiver of the year. I am grateful. I am thankful. I am blessed because I take God with me wherever I go. I'm getting filled up because I know that we work for God and we got to take Him wherever you are. People should see Him in you. They should know who you are, that you are a child of God and you are working for Him. You bring joy wherever you go. You don't go in with no sour face. You don't go in ticked off that you got to work on a Monday when you'd rather be sleeping. You got to go with enthusiasm. We got to start rebuking that spirit of procrastination. We got to start saying, not today, Satan. And whatever it is you've got to do, you've got to do it for God. Realize your pay comes both now and hereafter. Paul wrote, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Of course, you must get paid now to take care of your household expenses. But if you have done your very best and given all you have, you will never really get paid all you are worth. The wonderful thing to remember is this. You may get insufficient wages down here, but you will get rewarded beyond all reason up there. God will much more than equalize everything in that judgment. The boss who has watched you all these years will reward you justly. Do you see yourself as a servant? Do you consider Him your real boss at work? As unto the Lord, no matter how much minimal or boring your job may seem. Have you realized that you have a tremendous reward coming later for faithful labor performed now? If so, you are getting the most out of your work. And we say it every day, it's time to go to work. Who do you work for? You work for God. Whew, that word touched me. Let's continue in our word this morning. Psalm 38, 1 through 8. A psalm of David to bring to remembrance. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot pleasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sins. But my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. And we know David did some stuff, went through some stuff, but repented. And it says this in Psalm 38:4, my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. God knows that our sins weigh us down and keep us from God's best. When we confess them, we take them off our shoulders and place them on His only. Then can we walk with once more. Hallelujah. Give your burdens to the Lord today. Proverbs 12:23-25. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Hallelujah. We don't worry, we pray. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. We ought to become expert at giving encouragement. The world has more than enough naysayers, critics, scoffers, ridiculers, and distractors. A good word is hard to find. Why not give it a home in your mouth? Well, why not give it a home in your mouth? I'm sure all of those that have television or internet know that on Sunday at the Academy Awards, I didn't talk about this yesterday, but I'll say something today. Chris Rock made a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith and her hair is now she's born with a bald hairstyle. And the reason being is she has alopecia, which causes baldness and bald spots. It comes from stress and nerves, but it is a autoimmune disease, and it affects many women of color. But he thought it would be fun to make a joke at this young woman, at this woman's expense. And I think that at first Will kind of laughed it off. But then I think it hit him that this man has been making jokes about his wife for the last 15 years. So this is not the first time Chris Rock has used Jada Pinkett as his punchline. And I think it was a last straw situation. And Will got up, walked up to the stage, and smacked him. As they say, smacked the taste out of his mouth, as they would say in the South. And it was wrong. It was not a time, it was not a place for that kind of situation to happen. And I believe in my heart that God convicted him like it was nobody's business, because he turned around and gave him the Academy Award. And he cried. He stood up on that stage and cried and talked about love and said what Denzel Washington said. And one of the people that listened to this show used to attend church with Denzel. And I tell you this, Denzel told me, says, understand, the devil's going to come at you. And we all know that when there is a move of God, the enemy comes before or he comes after. Before or after. A move of God with Will Smith winning this Academy Award based on a true story. Serena and Venus Williams' father's story. Let me pray for Mr. Williams because he's going through right now. But the bottom line is he won this Academy Award. And he apologized. Problem is he didn't apologize to Chris Rock until yesterday. We cannot allow our emotions to get the best of us that we dishonor God, that we dishonor our parents who taught us how to act in public. We dishonor the people that have come before us who stood with dignity and honor. So he apologized. And when you make a mistake, as my pastor said, you get up, you take care of it, and you apologize, and you don't do it again. So I pray that Will Smith and Chris Rock will get together so they can have a conversation without violence, without disparaging remarks, but allow God to use them both for the betterment of the world and for young people not to think that it's all right when someone says something that you don't like to get up and knock the mess out of them. As they say, but we remember as men and women of God that death and life is in the power of this little membrane behind our teeth called a tongue. And sometimes you need to keep it behind your teeth and not say what comes into your mind. Whether you wrote the joke, you had an opportunity not to say it because you know this young woman is going through some stuff. And we all know Jada Pinkett Smith has some beautiful hair. She cut it short most of the time. But she also had, when her hair would grow out, it would be just beautiful. But understand that hair is not who we are. We are children of God. And we pray for those that are lost. We pray for the Smiths. We pray for the Rocks. We pray for all those in Hollywood that don't know Jesus. So don't get it twisted that, oh, he was, no, God convicted him. Look at the rest of it and watch him give that speech as he cries like a baby. That's a conviction. Because he wasn't expecting to win. And all the things that's been going on, all the folks, all these years making fun of him and his family, making fun of his children, making fun of his wife, making fun of him, just all of that hit at one time. But we also know that was a trick of the enemy. The devil came to kill, to steal, and to destroy these young men. But we will pray that God will hold them up, that God will help them both to be better men, to be better men of God, and watch God work in both their lives. Pray for them. Don't get caught up in the ridicule, in the laughter. He did this. Oh, he got knocked out. Oh, that. No. Pray for them. Lift them up and ask God to guide them in doing what's right. Let them speak to each other and let it all come out. Pain that one might have been going through and the other not having an understanding that people have feelings regardless of their position in life. Put yourself in the place of both men. Chris Rock is trying to get out there because he's got a concert tour coming up. Will Smith is tired of his family being vilified. And that just exploded. But we also understand it was a trick of the devil, too, because he already knew that Will was going to win that Academy Award and wanted to tarnish it and tarnish Will. And then it may be God that allowed, and I know it ain't no maybe, God allowed all of this to happen to get Will and Chris attention. And I pray that they understand God's in charge. I don't care how much money you have, how much clout you think you have, how much of anything you have, God is in charge. And this is the word. We're going to talk some demons today. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching. But his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, he came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word this is. For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made requests of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hand on every one of them and healed them, just as he's healing me right now. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Again, some of them are former angels. They're former angels, and they understand who the Savior is. Do we know who Jesus is? Now, when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd saw him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. And I say this morning, I preach the kingdom of God. That is my assignment. We got to do what God calls us to do, even when the enemy comes at you with a voice that you can barely speak. But when the Holy Spirit hits your spirit, all of a sudden you start to feel better. Your voice gets stronger. God is in charge of everything. Who do you work for this morning? Do you work for God? Hallelujah. Whew, all I can say is thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I know what it sounded like when I started this morning. But God, hallelujah. Thank Jesus. Prayer from the 365 Days of Prayer for Life says this: tempted. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. James 1:13, New King James. Lord, I believe that you are better than I've known. You do not tease your children or lead us into situations where we are forced to figure things out on our own. When you teach, you do it with grace. You don't throw your kids into deep ends of the pool when they haven't had any swimming lessons. Your kindness is our guide into truth. Lord, where I have false beliefs about you, who you are, and how you do things, would you reframe my mind? When I am tempted to sin, I know that you have no part in that except to provide a way out so that I may stand up under it. Your love lifts me, giving me courage to choose your ways even when the easy way out is staring me down. Your way of love is better. May I always choose to follow you on that path. Woo! In Jesus' name, Father God, I lift up today's word, asking you to bless the hearers of this word and the readers of this word. Father God, you are in charge of everything. I give myself away for you to use me, Lord. Use me for your goodness. Use me for your mercy. Use me for your love and peace and joy. Use me, Lord, for your kingdom. For I preach the kingdom of God. And I thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity. I pray a blessing over this word today, over those that hear it and those that read it, in Jesus' name. And this is a word that God gave me for this morning, for this 29th day of March. When you are tempted, what can help you resist? And I tell you this, what helps you resist is the Lord God, is Jesus Christ, our Savior. A word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. Healed up. Whew, a word from my sister is this. Good morning. God has not forgotten you. You will bounce back from every negative situation you are experiencing. Your story has been written. Your final scene has been shot. You don't end in failure. You end in victory. Have a triumphant Tuesday. My sister, Carolyn, preaches the kingdom of God. Who do you belong to, family? Who do you belong to? Who do you work for? You got to stand up and say, I work for the Lord. Whatever is your assignment, do it. as the Nike commercial say, just do it. Do your assignment and watch God work in your life. That's all I have this morning, family. Whew, it's time to go to work. If there's anyone that has a word from God that would like to speak, push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. And if there is not, we are wrapping it up this morning. And again, thank you all. May God bless you all. And as we pray our prayer every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours, thanking God for his healing power, thanking God for his grace, thanking God for his mercy, thanking God for the Holy Spirit that dwells in each and every one of us, thanking God for his wonderful, loving, and gracious and mighty Son, our Savior, the love of my life, Christ Jesus' name. I pray over each and every one of you. Be blessed and know that you are a child of God and you represent his kingdom. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Time to go to work.